Chapter 8, Spanking and Whipping. Before we begin, a quote from Ben Franklin. Love well, whip well. Now's the time for the spanking, the whipping, and the basic flogging fun that comes into many people's practice of dominance and submission. Not only does it create an instant power exchange, but it also can be highly satisfying for the couple that is into pain and gets aroused by using it. However, there are some rules that you'll want to keep in mind before even approaching someone with a whip or a cane. Don't ever strike someone when you are angry. When you are highly emotional, this can cause you to swing harder and hit harder than you intended to. This can cause serious and permanent damage to the slave's skin, as well as to their psyche. If you're not in a calm and controlled place as a dominant, you need to refrain from any sort of striking. Striking a slave should not be done with the intention of harming them. Of course, spanking and flogging are going to hurt, but delving into trying to physically harm someone is nasty business. You want to make sure that you are using the actions as a form of control and not abuse. And know your slave's limit. While some partners will have signals for when the pain has become too intense for the slave to handle, it's actually a better idea to talk about these limits before any flogging begins. This will allow the dominant to keep these limits in mind and follow them. This can be a highly erotic part of your dominance and submission practice if you do it right. Here's what you need to know now. What you can use. A list of implements. The list of striking implements is endless, really, but here are some of the more popular ones. Your hand, a paddle, a cane, a flogger, or a crop. The hand can be the most effective and simple way to use a form of corporal punishment in a dominance and submission relationship. It's cheap, it's easy, and you can do it anywhere, anytime. What you need to keep in mind is that you can use anything as a striking object as long as it is sturdy and clean. This is especially important when you are striking bare skin. Look around your house right now for other implements that you might be able to use. Fly swatters, metal rods, broomsticks, etc. You can even make your own paddles, if you like, with various devious parts. For example, some dominants have turned ordinary ping pong paddles into spanking tools. Others have turned an ordinary antenna into a striking toy. Spanking. Spanking is easy, simple, and anyone can do it. In fact, it's probably the best place for most dominants to start in order to get a feel for what they want to do with their slave, assuming the slave concurs. But the trick with spanking is that it can become quite tiresome after a while because the movement of the palm against the skin requires a lot of energy, especially when you want to repeat the movement over and over. However, there is a secret trick that will keep the master from getting too tired and the slave from getting too few swats. Cup your hand as you are spanking. It would seem that this would lessen the effect of the actual striking, but it does not, and this movement dissipates the energy over the entire hand, making the hand able to repeat the movement for longer periods of time as opposed to the everyday slapping motion that most people make. And where to spank? You can spank someone on the most obvious area, the buttocks, or you can be a little more creative and change spanking into more of a slapping action. The backs of the upper thighs are a good place to apply the spanking motions, and since you probably already have the slave in a position where the upper thighs are readily accessible, it only makes sense to move your efforts downward a little for variety. You can also use spanking hand motion on the face and the breasts for a sharp feeling of pain that will redden the skin and cause the blood to immediately flow into the area. There are also a number of positions that you can have your slave in to make the spanking all the easier. Over the knee, over a sturdy piece of furniture, propped over a pillow with buttocks facing the dominant, or bending over, clutching their ankles. One thing that you'll want to keep in mind as you are spanking a submissive is that following through with each strike can cause unnecessary damage to the muscles that are just below the skin. Try to keep the pain limited to the outer layers of the skin by restricting just how far back you wind up when you're spanking away. Paddling. Of course, why not have another tool do the work for you? Paddling is a fine way to still strike your slave without causing any strain or harm to your hand. Paddling goes back to the days of sororities and fraternities when they brought out the massive wooden paddles for those that were rushing for a place in the house. But you can certainly use these tools to help train your slave. Just as with spanking, paddling is simple to do. What you want to keep in mind as you use a paddle is that your wrist should be slightly loose so as to not have any unwanted cramping when you are using it. Remember, too, that repeated paddling will cause the wrist to become tired, so you might want to switch positions or tools from time to time during a longer scene. Another concern with paddling is that the area that is being paddled can become a little less sensitive if you continue to strike it hard over and over. What happens is that the skin begins to compress itself with each strike as a defense mechanism, and that creates lessened sensitivity. What you'll want to do is slow down the overall paddling that you want to do in order to prevent this from happening. Want bonus points for deviousness? Some dominants like to create their own paddles that have special features that will add to their slave's experience. For example, some have taken ping pong paddles and attached small thumbtacks to the striking side to add a little pinch with each strike. While these tend to not draw blood, they can certainly change the feeling of the paddle on the slave's upper thighs or buttocks. Paddling needs to be done slowly at first and then built up to harder and harder strokes. This allows the slave's body to warm up and be able to handle more than they might have thought they could. Plus, it keeps the skin from becoming too bruised, which is even more painful to then strike again and again. Flogging. But when it comes down to flair, flogging is the striking method of choice for many dominants. Not only does the implement look impressive, but it also can be just the right amount of pain when used properly. Some might call this implement a cat-o'-nine-tails, or moor-tails in some models, while others might just call it a flogger. Some will tell you that a cat-o'-nine-tails has flat or round braided tails, while a flogger has tails that are flat rubber or leather. The name and the details don't matter, so long as you know how to use it. You'll want to choose a flogger that is securely made, something that is heavy to hold in your hand and has a thick and sturdy handle. This will give you the largest amount of control over its use, and the solid construction will help to ensure that the pieces aren't going to be flying off during the middle of a scene. To help maintain control of the flogger, you might want to choose a model with a wrist cord as well. That way, if the flogger slips from your hand, it can't go very far. You'll want to practice before you start on your slave, so find some alone time with your flogger and start finding out how it works. Your victim can be an ordinary bed pillow. To be in the proper position, try to line up your body to the intended target, making sure that your shoulders are facing the target and that your legs are spaced apart and able to support you and keep you from moving too much. You might also want to create a target spot on the pillow to help you concentrate your arm on. Now, lift the flogger in your preferred hand up towards your shoulder and then bring it down onto your target. If you didn't come close to your target, that's okay. You'll get it in a second. If you weren't able to reach your target, step closer. If you overreached your target, step back. Simple enough. Now, try again, moving your whole arm into the movement but not your body. When you move your body through a flogging, it is exhausting and it causes the flogger to lose power. You can also check the direction of the tips to see if they are going the way that you want them to. Simply hold on to the tips before you pull back and strike to ensure that the tips are heading flat or on their side. You can then quicken the pace with each stroke, quickly bringing the flogger back to your shoulder and then back to your target over and over. Once you start hitting your target consistently, try to speed it up even more. The faster your pace, the more intense the overall sensation for the slave. When the flogger twists and becomes tangled, simply stop and release the tangles before going on. Some important tips. Keep your eyes on the target. Don't snap the flogger. Use smooth movements. Do not hit above the shoulders. Do not hit the lower back where the kidneys are. Do not hit the outside of the hips. This is a beginner's mistake that can be quite painful for the slave. Remember, there isn't a lot of protection on this part of the body to cushion the blows. And remember that you have a longer reach than you might think. Make sure to practice a few times before heading to your slave's buttocks, but it's really quite simple to learn, and once you've gotten the hang of it, quite fun to give and to receive. Some bonus techniques. Move the flogger in a figure eight pattern as you are swinging, giving multiple strikes with each movement. Try swinging all the way through from your back to the slave's bottom. Or try out new positions as well as movements to find your signature flogging technique. Caning. When many slaves hear the term caning, they immediately grimace in pain, and rightfully so. Caning is one of the more challenging implements to both use and to receive pain from. The cane is a small rod that can be an actual cane or simply a thinner, hollowed-out piece of wood. While it looks non-threatening, that little piece of wood can be the first thing that reduces a slave to tears. Using a cane is quite simple, just as with any of these implements. What you'll do is take the cane in your dominant hand, no pun intended, and position over the area that you wish to strike. You can then simply move the cane up and down over the area with little movements, or some dominants have been known to pull the cane back in order to get a little more power with each stroke. What happens is that a lot of pressure is built up into a smaller area, which causes more pain on the skin's surface. If you like to see welts and bumps on your slave, this is the way to do it. The same rules apply as with flogging: no hips, no kidneys, and no head. But there are super sensitive areas that might be interesting places to test out the cane on. The bottoms of the feet, the palms, breasts and nipples, insides of thighs, the backs of thighs, and the backs of arms. Because these areas are so sensitive, a little caning will go a long way in controlling your submissive and making them beg you to stop. Things you have around the house. But you don't need to buy that $500 bullwhip if you don't want to. You'll simply want to think creatively as you look around your home. Got an old antenna? It works great as a cane. Have any back scratchers? Use the flat side of these for striking your slave. Rolled up newspapers work. Thin metal rods are devastating. If you're good at snapping a towel, you can try that. Get out a favorite leather belt, but watch out for the metal parts. Tennis rackets work well. Clean PVC pipes work well on thicker skinned surfaces. Plastic or metal cooking spoons, whisks, spatulas, etc. All the world is a striking instrument as long as it's clean and free of things that might break the skin. Of course, if you want to do that, you're more than welcome to try. What's great about finding ordinary items and using them for your BDSM play is that they can sit around the house and look completely innocent, and only you will know the truth. How to keep the pace up. What's concerning to most submissives and dominants is how to keep up the pace of a long striking session. When you're trying to hit someone over and over, how can you maintain your energy? And for the slave, how can you continue to take pain? Starting with the dominants, there are several things that you'll want to do prior to heading into the dungeon for a little playtime. Practice, practice, practice. If you haven't been spanking or whipping before, your muscles aren't going to be strong enough to maintain long periods of repetition. You need to practice daily for a while in order to get these muscles ready for action. Learn the right form. There are hundreds of books, videos, classes, and more on how to properly strike a slave. By learning the right form, you will be able to continue your pace for longer periods of time, extending your play sessions each time. Try different speeds. If you feel that you are beginning to tire, simply change positions or speeds for a little while until you feel re-energized. Or make it easy on yourself. Instead of placing your slave in an awkward position, create a striking position that is simple for you. Heck, you can even find a way to put your slave into a location where you can sit down as you're paddling away. But for the slave, tolerating and lasting through the pain is an altogether different ordeal, and that's because the mind works to create more pain in some situations than is actually present. When your body is being hurt in some way, the body will respond. This is natural as it is trying to keep you from being hurt. To counteract this mechanism, you will need to realize that the initial first few blows are going to be the worst of the bunch as your mind begins to settle into the rhythm of the flogging or spanking and eventually into the endorphin rush. Here are some ways to keep your mind steady and able to deal with each stroke. Breathe out with each hit if you can. This instantly relaxes the brain and allows it to recognize how much pain is really there. Don't panic. Remember, the first few strikes might hurt a lot, but if you can move past the first few minutes, it will become easier for you. Have a stop word ready. Sometimes just knowing that you can say stop is enough to help you move past the pain and try to take more. Say stop if it really does hurt. If you feel like something isn't right or something really hurts, even when you're not being hit, you'll want to tell your dominant immediately. You do not want to hurt yourself by thinking that you need to stay silent. Or think about something else. Even counting each strike will help to take your mind off any pain that you might be experiencing and help you move past it. However, in some cases, the dominant will not want the slave to go off and deny the sensations they are feeling. In these cases, the slave needs to work hard to remember that they are serving their dominant and that each time they are able to last through the pain, they are showing their obedience and their servitude. To mark or not to mark. For some BDSM aficionados, striking isn't doing its job unless there are several things popping up on the submissive skin. Bruises, redness, warmth to the touch, welts, or perhaps a small spot of blood. Each of these signs shows some dominance that they have struck the skin hard enough to cause some minor damage. But the question is whether or not it's necessary in order to be effective. Here's the truth. You can inflict and receive a great amount of pain without ever having left a mark from it. Some people have tougher skin, and they're not going to show the impressive marks that some slaves do, but others will bruise as soon as you think about spanking them. But what you want to keep in mind is that the kind of damage you want to do should be minimal and left to the outermost layers of the skin. These kinds of marks will not be permanent and will heal quickly, ready for the next scene that you do. However, if you do strike too hard, you can cause problems with the muscles deep in the skin that can be much more painful than the flogging or spanking itself, and last a lot longer too. What you should do is test out the toughness of your submissive skin by taking your time, building up the pressure as the scene goes on. What happens is that the skin becomes more sensitive with each blow, causing even the softest blows at the end of a scene to be just as painful as the first ones. Keep this in mind. Another concern is that if you do end up breaking the skin open, this can lead to infections, which can be more problematic. If you find that the skin has been broken during a session, you may want to stop what you are doing, survey the damage, and then apply first aid as needed. Some dominant and submissive scenes will end with the dominant taking care of their slave by applying antiseptic lotion or other treatments as a reminder that they truly do care for their welfare. For heavy bruising, try applying ice packs to the skin as well as arnica lotion or gel to soothe any pain. The question of bruising. But just as with some submissives like pain and others do not, there are some that want to be marked in some way, bruised in some way after a session. Much like wearing a collar, it reminds them that they are under the control of another and it reminds them of their place. The truth is that the skin will generally require more and more intense sensations in order to continue marking, as it may have in the beginning of the BDSM relationship. That doesn't mean that the blows need to be harder, but that you might need to find new areas that are still more sensitive. But if the submissive would like to have some sort of reminder of their scene with you, you can do one of several things. Apply direct, repeated pressure to a smaller area of the body. When you use intense spanking or paddling on one part of the buttocks, for example, you might find that the area is more likely to bruise. Canes are highly effective at leaving welts, no matter how often they are used. The only trick with this is that the skin can be easily broken, so you will need to apply an antiseptic regularly to prevent infection. And hickeys are still a good way to mark a slave's neck. If your slave does not need to be in the public eye, or doesn't care that the bruising will be visible, good old-fashioned hickeys and bite marks are an easy place on a slave's neck. Simply suck on an area that you wish to mark, and just wait a few moments for the initial results. Marking your slave can be safe and easy, and it can be the crowning way to finish a scene off and leave a reminder for days to come. A slave assignment for the end of this chapter. Learning about the various ways that your master or mistress can inflict punishment or pleasurable pain will allow you to relax more and learn from the overall experience. Take some time now to do your own research on various methods of striking, making a list in your journal of the things that sound erotic to you that you want to try in the near future. If there's anything that turns you on and scares you, make a note of this too. With proper training, your master or mistress can help guide you through these feelings and help you become a better slave for having faced your fears. This is the end of Chapter 8.